Welcome to Deep Dive Genre. Swiss-Italian screenwriter and director Petra Wolpe lives in New York and Berlin, where she studied at the film school Konrad Wolf. She's written and directed many different films, among them a script for the widely successful recent remake of Heidi. The three cinema features she has directed are all set in her native Switzerland. Traumland tells the story of various people in Zurich who meet the prostitute Mia. In Die göttliche Ordnung, The Divine Order, housewife Nora wants to work. The fact that her husband is still able to forbid it in 1971 triggers a process of emancipation that also affects her village. Petra's latest film, Heldin, Late Shift, is about a nurse who tries to do her job in the hectic everyday life of a clinic. Late Shift premiered at the Berlinale 2025 and is having a very successful run in cinemas right now. We talked to Petra via video call for this interview. Petra Wolpe, welcome to Deep Dive Genre.
Dankeschön, sehr gerne.
Thank you so much for talking to us today. And your feature film, Heldin, Late Shift, premiered at this year's Berlinale and is now having a very successful run in German cinemas. Congratulations on such a terrific film.
Thank you so much.
Can you tell us a little bit about your journey of becoming a director?
It was definitely not a straightforward journey, I would say. So I wasn't a six-year-old running around with a Super 8 camera knowing I want to be a filmmaker. You know, I come from a very working class background, and being an artist wasn't really something that anybody in my family ever did or thought about. So it was pretty long. You know, I love to draw. I love to take pictures. I was a passionate photographer. But I never even considered that I could make movies, even though I loved movies as a kid. I watched a lot of television. Every now and then it would be a special treat for my family to go to the cinema and watch like very like blockbustery films like Tarzan. Yeah, so it took quite a while. So I went to film school eventually in Berlin when I was 27 to HFF Konrad Wolf, and I had applied for directing and writing. I didn't even know anything much about writing, screenwriting. I just thought, I'm also going to send the material because it was más o menos the same stuff they wanted. Mm-hmm. And they didn't take me for directing class, but they invited me to apply for screenwriting. But from the very beginning, I worked with a camera woman, Alexandra Chok. We kind of found each other and I said, I want to shoot movies. So we shot movies even though I was studying screenplay. Mm-hmm. Then I made a lot of television movies. It wasn't, you know, from film school to Cannes kind of career. I think it's important to know for also young people and aspiring filmmakers that there's many different paths that lead you to filmmaking, and there's not just one journey, and everybody's journey is very different depending where you come from, where you study, what options you have, what class you're born into, what sex you have. You know, all these things play into how your career can unfold. And mine was definitely not straightforward.
Mm-hmm. How do you choose your stories, or how do you, as a screenwriter, commit to a project?
I think that's always the hardest, or the process that takes the longest, because there are a million stories out there. Everybody has many stories to tell, including me. And there's many things I'm drawn to. Mm-hmm. But I think there needs to be an urgency to a topic. For me, it's always also to do with societal things that are swirling around, political things that I'm interested in. I see my filmmaking as a very, also a political act. I'm always drawn to stories that are rooted in some kind of issue that touches on themes that I find meaningful for society, and to find ways to tell them in an entertaining way, or in a way that seduces people to deal with the topic. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to find projects or themes that combine all these things, like where I see a big potential for straightforward entertainment, because I think people do go to the cinema to also be immersed in something and be seduced by something, but also it has to offer a perspective or a view onto the world that I find meaningful for the time that I live in.
Yeah.
You mentioned in interviews that a friend inspired you to tackle the story of the working life of a nurse, but I think you also yourself have some experience in nursing as well. As I mentioned, someone who recently had to undergo an operation and get a pretty good view of the current situation in hospitals and the daily grind for the nurses. I have to admit, it was a little bittersweet watching the film. Are you happy with the reactions to the film and with what you set out to tell?
Yeah, I think we achieved as a team, because it was a huge team effort to make a movie like that, because we as a team really wanted to create an experience more than a movie. Yeah, we wanted to achieve the effect that people after the movie would feel as if they had worked the shift themselves, mm-hmm. you know, to really put them in the shoes, literally and metaphorically, of the nurse trying to achieve, or just trying to do a good job, actually, just trying to be a professional nurse. And I think the effect we achieved to do this, because that's the feedback we get a lot. I get dozens and dozens of emails from nurses, you know, from Germany and Switzerland and Austria, who say this is depicting my everyday life, but also from people who are not working as nurses who say, I feel like I did the shift. And I think that's definitely an effect we wanted to have, to make people, you know, understand what it really means to do this job. Mm-hmm. Because we have so many misconceptions about it. Media, like, you know, hospital series, they usually show the nurses somewhere in the background hanging up an IV. But their job is so complex, like on a technical and professional level, what they have to know also about medicine and, mm-hmm. and pharmacology. But then on a human level, like in every room you come, if there's two patients, there's two worlds that you have to deal with. And it's not just the patient's world, it's the relatives, the whole surrounding of them. Mm-hmm. And you have to figure out, what does this person need right now? How can I help this person? How should I approach this human being? And this is such a huge part of the work, and is also such a huge contribution of the healing, is this aspect of the world. It's not just dressing a wound or giving a medicine. It's like really treating a person holistically. And we all know by now there's so much science around this, how much this human touch is important.
Yeah.
But that's something, for example, that doesn't really show up in the Krankenhausabrechnungs, you know, in the bill of the insurance. This is not something that can be measured easily. Like, how long does a touch last? You know, how long should I sit down and talk to a person? What is the effect of that? Those are not very measurable things, but they are immeasurably important for the healing of a person.
Absolutely. The focus of this podcast season is actually political drama, but I would argue that Late Shift is more of a social drama. But of course, the political is always personal, and I think thus social. For stories inspired by real people and events, it can be hard to find the right tone and where to put the focus on the story. And you already mentioned you wanted the viewers to feel like they were in the shoes of the nurse or the nurses. How long did it take you to figure out what kind of stories you wanted to include?
So, yeah, I've been thinking about making a movie about nursing and nurses for really many years, also because of what you mentioned. I lived with a nurse for a really long time and saw how her work conditions deteriorated. I saw her come home from her work every day and how she felt, and it really affected me a lot. But I didn't find the approach, you know, for a really long time. I didn't know how to tackle this subject in an effective way narratively. And then one day I read a book by a German nurse, Madeleine Calvelage, who just wrote down a shift very soberly, just wrote what she does every day, how she arrives and what she does. And I remember I was lying on my sofa in Berlin reading the book, and my heart rate went up already on the second page. And I thought, how the hell is she going to survive? You know, it's just 8 a.m. and I with her, and I'm already exhausted, not even doing the job, lying on my sofa. And I thought, this is the movie, you know, this is exactly the kind of simple but very effective form I was looking for. And this became my blueprint to say, okay, I'm telling the story. It's one nurse and one shift and the race against time. That's the movie. And we then contacted Madeline and she consulted, but then I had to develop all the patients, their illnesses. Like in the end, many, many nurses helped me build this shift because I'm not a nurse. So I had to become a nurse in order to be able to write the script. Yeah. Because I had to work the shift as an author and figure out, oh, which patient needs what? Where do I have to be? When? Like, which medicine do I need to remember? I had to kind of put myself into the mindset of somebody working this shift on one hand. On the other hand, of course, I'm also a screenwriter and a dramaturg, and I know how to effectively use all the narrative tools to create a form of constant tension. So I wouldn't say it's based on reality, but of course it's also highly shaped, the narrative, but it's not exaggerated. Sometimes some people in the audience would say, but it can't be like this. Mm-hmm. And all the nurses say, but it is like this. And I think there is a quote that I really love from Albert Camus, who says, fiction is the lie that tells the truth. Mm-hmm. And I think this is in a way the method, like, The film is not reality, but it's still the truth.
Knowing that this was going to be a very fast-paced or fast-moving film, how soon did you start to plan the shots and the frames in order to keep the viewers on edge of their seats? Was that something that you did parallel when you were writing? How did that work?
Well, it was clear from the beginning that this is a relentless, high-paced movie. So you already put it in the script, like there is no breathing. So the balancing, the timing balancing already started in the script, and that was quite tricky because how to also make an emotional story when you never really have time to stay with any character, you know, because she enters the room, she exits the room. So you know very little about the characters she encounters because we stay in her perspective. And then also about her, she's a professional. She doesn't have, like in every hospital drama, a personal issue, a personal agenda. She's not a psychological character who has like a big complicated life that kind of seeps into her professionalism. We know very little about her. So, but how to still have these moments where the audience has time to quickly catch up and really feel something about what they're seeing. So that process started in the screenplay. And was tricky and risky. And I really didn't know until the very end, is it going to work on an emotional level? And then, of course, it continued with my work with Judith, my DP, to decide how are we shooting the movie? How are we keeping this pace? How do we find the rhythm of the scenes and the movie? And then continued with Hans-Jörg Weisbrick, my wonderful editor. It was like a building process. Mm-hmm. On every step of the movie, we had to think about the balance and the tension and figure it out as we were going along.
You mentioned Judith Kaufmann and worked together 3 times now. Does having a shared creative shorthand, does that make the shoot easier or maybe sometimes even harder because you know each other so well, you respect each other so well, and maybe your opinions differ?
I mean, I would say my collaboration with Judith is really a true gift to me. She is my partner in crime. We work very closely together. She's usually involved in my projects really early on. I pitch my ideas to her. We talk and walk a lot about ideas, and we have very similar interests and ambitions about what stories we want to tell and how we want to tell them and how we look at human beings and society and politics and such. I completely trust her on the set because I'm very focused on the actors. We block the film together. We talk a lot about how to shoot the movie because I think camera positions are in a way micro dramaturgy. So it's really important to decide how you look at the scene, what is the perspective. We decide that together. And then on set, I pretty much let go and almost always agree with what So, but I know she puts it somewhere super interesting. Mm-hmm. Honestly, as a director, I completely benefit from her experience. Mm-hmm. You know, I shoot the movie usually as a director in Switzerland. You shoot the movie every 4 to 7 years. Mm-hmm. She shoots 2 or 3 movies a year. Mm-hmm. She has such a vast amount of experience, and it's just wonderful that I can benefit from it.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us your favorite scene from Helden from Late Shift and maybe give our listeners a bit of a behind the scenes background?
My favorite scene would be spoiling something.
Okay.
It's a scene where she, you know, where she's had enough mm-hmm. and she does something outrageous that every nurse who consulted on the project tried to talk me out of and said, we would never do that. But I thought, all right, my reply was, but you would like to do it and you fantasized about doing it. So let's just do it because we're making a movie and this is the one time you can just completely enjoy this moment because it's a freeing moment. And the scene that follows with the two nurses, the aftermath of the scene, I also love because Floria deserves mm-hmm. this moment and it was a great joy to shoot it.
You mentioned obviously that you're a script writer as well. Sometimes you write scripts and you don't direct, but this time you both wrote the script and you directed. Was there ever a conflict during the whole process between the writer you and the director you?
Honestly, not really, because I'm quite ruthless with my own writing. I'm very ready to throw everything out to make something better, mm-hmm. actually. I feel the script is a blueprint and then comes the actors and all the other wonderful things mm-hmm. and it becomes a three-dimensional project in a way. And I love the process of adapting to this new situation and I'm quite open. I'm very seldomly holding on to things. And when I do, there's usually a reason. Mm-hmm. But of course, with Judith as my partner, also my producer is very important. Like with Reto, if I have a doubt, mm-hmm. I would talk to him or Judith and then pretty quickly make decisions. Because I'm too much of a director also to know that what's on the page yeah. isn't necessarily the end. Mm-hmm. It's just a suggestion, you know?
Okay.
The end. But I must also say my scripts are extremely precise, especially mm-hmm. this one. So there's a lot of work in there. And so with this script, with Heldin, almost every little action she does, almost every breath mm-hmm. was written down. Like every she grabs this from this cupboard, puts it on the table, then takes it out of the wrapping. She throws the wrapping into, we needed to know all these micro steps.
Yeah.
So I had to describe them. So we stuck to them because if you make a movie like this that's so tight, mm-hmm. you can't throw such things out of the window mm-hmm. easily. You know, you have to really know what you're doing.
Yeah. Your films are, they're quite different. I still think there's a creative through line, but I'm wondering what you think the creative through line is.
Of course, that's always a bit hard to say. I can only say what my ambition is. Mm-hmm. And I agree, my movies are all very different, like the genre, the topic, the way they're shot. And that's also something I really enjoy. You know, I would hate to make the same movie over and over again because I get easily bored also with things. So I guess what my ambition is whenever I make a movie is to find some kind of essence, some kind mm-hmm. of deep truth about something and something very universal. And of course, as a woman so far, all my stories center on women and their experience. And it's usually women that are at the fringes of society or oppressed.
Yeah.
I think there's no need to explain or justify why, because yeah. it's just a fact of this world. And I think I like to point my lens at things that are maybe uncomfortable mm-hmm. or that people try to be in denial about or have misconceptions or don't want to think deeply or feel deeply about. Maybe people think about it a lot, but they don't feel.
Mm-hmm. A director usually makes a film every few years. Obviously, it's a long process, writing the script, preparing everything. How hard is it for you to say goodbye to the characters and their story that you spend so much time with?
It's not very hard.
Okay.
I'm not clinging to things. I move on very quickly. Once I know my baby is in the world out there and has its own legs to walk around, I just love to watch it from afar, actually. And I move on very quickly to the next project because I feel, you know, there's not so much time. Mm-hmm. There's many stories I want to tell and movie has been shot and it's out there. It doesn't need me anymore.
For the end, we have a few rapid fire questions for you.
Yes, please.
You mentioned that you're working on a new film. Is there a particular story that you would still like to tackle?
I'm actually tackling it now. I've been working on this project for 10 years. It's a passion mm-hmm. project. with my co-author Esther von Bernsdorf. And yeah, now we're going to shoot it in the end of April. Very, very long, very hard, very arduous, very emotional, very heartbreaking journey also. But now it's on a good way. And if all goes right and there's no force majeure, I'm going to shoot the movie in the end of April.
Fingers crossed. What would you say is the biggest misconception about the work of a director and writer from people outside of the industry?
That directors know everything and have this big, great vision that everybody has to follow. I think a vision, of course, you need a vision as a director, but it's a very organic process. It's a very collaborative process. I think this idea of the solitary director, you know, who is almost like a general, is a very old school conception of a director. I see myself more as a midwife, you know, very fragile, very artistic, very soft, also very collaborative process. And so I don't know everything. I know a lot of things not, and I'm happy to be surrounded with other people who know things and we can find a way together.
Has the work changed over the course of the years? And that can be an external change or internal, as in how you yourself approach the work.
I think definitely I've become more self-confident in my process. Like, I trust my own process more. I guess as a young director, I had a lot of insecurities. I still do. But the insecurities are more part of my process, and I see them as an asset and not as a problem. And I think that's maybe the biggest advantage of being a bit older and more experienced, to not be scared of fear and to not be scared of insecurity and to not be scared of not knowing something immediately. And I feel that's a very freeing thing, to be able to endure this kind of like moments where nothing is fixed, and to float with this and not to panic, and to trust that you will find the answer by yourself or with the others. And I think that's a very productive moment, actually, the insecurity and also a little bit of fear.
And finally, well, you already shared that you're working on a new project and will be shooting soon. Hopefully we will get to see that in, maybe 27 at the latest, depending how everything goes.
Yeah, maybe earlier, but yeah, okay. It will hopefully be in the can by the summer, and then comes editing. And so the movie should be finished and ready to be sent out to festivals and so on by the end of this year, actually.
So we have something to look forward to. Great. And good luck for the shoot.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for sitting down with us today. It was a pleasure.
Pleasure was mine. Thank you so much.
Deep Dive Genre is produced by German Films, the National Information and Advisory Center for the Promotion of German Films Worldwide. To find out more about our guests, check out the links in our show notes. To stay up to date with our episodes, subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.